I'd like to talk with you today about inner peace, how we find it, how we build on it, how we maintain it. Ever since I was a child, not really a child, to be honest, I never heard this till I was about 21, but some people that I knew back then would say to me, "My, you seem really at peace." And I was always surprised to hear that. I guess I am somewhat of a peaceful person. And what I want to talk with you about today is, how do we find inner peace? How do we build on inner peace? And then, how do we maintain inner peace? I always look to the Bible for guidance, and I want to share with you one of the great passages for a person who found inner peace. It's the Apostle Paul. He's near the end of his life. He's done a great job preaching, building up churches throughout Asia Minor, and so forth. But now, he has been hauled before the Jewish authorities. He's been hauled before them and sent back to Rome for a trial before Caesar. He's under house arrest. And in the book of Philippians, he's writing a letter to a church that he established in Philippi. And they're concerned about him. They've sent a visitor to check on his whereabouts, to see how he's doing, if he's well-fed, if he's clothed. He's a prisoner, but he's under house arrest. And so he writes back to them, and listen, I'm going to read some of this for you from the fourth chapter, the book of Philippians, starting at the fourth verse. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." That's from the King James Version of the Bible. And again, let me go back over what Paul says. Let me read a little bit of this again to you, because I think that there is a pathway to inner peace here. He starts by saying in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Isn't that interesting? A man who might be on death row, and ultimately was on death row, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He's saying, try to find something to smile about. Try to find something that you're happy about. And then he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, here is really, I think, the prescription for this inner peace. And actually, I'm going to preach a sermon on this Sunday. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Let's break that down, because that's really the pathway Paul gives us for inner peace. He says, be careful for nothing. Some more modern translations say, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer. So he's saying the pathway to inner peace is to start with prayer. And then he says two particular kinds of prayer. One is prayer of supplication. Supplications and prayer, my friend, are intercessions. It's where we ask God to do something. And then with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is really one of the ways that we process our blessings. I want you to think about your blessings now and ask yourself, what are my blessings? And I really feel that when a person knows their blessings, if you're aware of your blessings, you always have something to say thank you to for God about. The counting of your blessings is really important. So again, I come back to my theme for today. I want to share some thoughts about how to maintain inner peace. Inner peace is described as tranquility and calm. And I would be the first to say that all that looks like calm and tranquility can sometimes be deceptive. It can fool you. It is quite possible that an individual looks calm and tranquil on the outside, but on the inside they are churning with confusion, hatred, jealousy, and other destructive emotions. It has often caught me by surprise over the years that people that I know, men and women, have told me to my face that they find me to be calm and peaceful. And I'm often surprised when I hear this because I don't necessarily think of myself as particularly being calm and peaceful, but after I consider what they're saying, I think about it and I say, well, they're right. I'm not cursing. I'm not stomping. I'm not hauling off and hitting people in the face because they make me angry. And so to some extent, I guess I am calm. But for me, it all begins with personal self-esteem. I feel very good about myself. My first 8 years of life were spent in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's where I was born in 1951. Into the segregated South. My parents did what many parents did in their generation. I'm African American. My parents are African American. They protected me and my little brother from the horrors of segregation. And I would have to say they protected us as much as they could. The church that my father pastored in New Orleans was populated by several families who did the same for their children. And before I was 8 years of age, I already felt good about myself because people told me that I was smart and good-looking. Now, this may seem like a joke now, but for me, I am convinced that my self-esteem began as a child in the South. For me, my faith in God is the cornerstone of my self-confidence and inner peace. And I encourage people all the time, you know, who are seeking peace, who are seeking inner peace and calm, to start by rethinking and reestablishing a relationship with God. And this is important because the core of our faith in Jesus Christ is that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving. And our faith teaches us that we are created in the image of God and placed on earth for a reason. And if we are placed on earth for a reason, then we ought to feel good about ourselves. We ought to feel good, very good, about ourselves. So I want to share with you some of the techniques that I've learned through the Bible over the years that have helped me to strive toward inner peace. One of the techniques I've learned from the Bible, in particular, from the fourth chapter, the book of Philippians, is that at one of the most difficult points in the life of the Apostle Paul, he encourages his readers to think positive thoughts. He says in the 10th verse, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And he says, "And if you do that, then the God of peace will be with you." And I believe often when a person is struggling to find inner peace, calm, and tranquility, we will see that they have allowed negativity to creep into their lives, into their thoughts, and into their mind. The more we dwell on hateful, jealous, and evil thoughts, insecure thoughts, the more it trickles into the rest of our lives. Think about the mass murderers. Think about the people who just lash out with violence. Very often what you will find is that these people are caught up with feelings of insecurity, low self-esteem, and hate. And I say, if you really want to build your inner peace, start with your self-confidence. Self with your confidence. I try to be positive in seeking something positive and good in each individual. And that helps me to be tranquil. I read a Google News the other day that was talking about the really rich people who have the most expensive private jets. And it was just astounding how much these jets cost and how much these people can pay for their jets. Not to mention the cost of fuel for these jets. And, you know, I look at that and I say, well, Nick, you can hate on the rich people, or you can think of it from the perspective and say, well, thank God for them. You know, thank God that they can live this way. It's not your way of living, but thank God for them and don't hate. I also believe that God has put me here for a reason. And because of the intent of God, I am convinced that somehow, some way, things will work out. And I try to make that happen. The Apostle Paul also says in Romans chapter 8, 28, that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And I believe that, for example, I try to look for something good even in the death of a person. Even when I look at the death of people that I know and love, I try to look for something good, something wonderful, even when people have done bad things or said bad things. Even when people have said and done bad things to me, I try to look for something good. Another way that I seek calm and tranquility is through physical exercise. I do not exercise to be calm or tranquil. I don't exercise to be the strongest person in the world. But I exercise to try to maintain and improve my personal health. And my workout routine is not necessarily the most intense. And I'm sure those who are reading this and know me might laugh because my physical routine does not require that I lift the most amount of weight, run fast or long, or do anything that is particularly strenuous. But it is a routine. And what I find is that the rest of my day tends to go better when I have exercised in the gym. I start with weight training, with the upper body. Then I move to the legs. And I try to work on every muscle group. But before I leave the YMCA, I leave the third floor where the weight machines are, and then I go down to the second floor. There's a little room in the second floor. And I embark upon a routine from a yoga move called the Sun Salutation. And it is through a series of these stretches with my arms outstretched to the sky that I find inner peace. The way it works is I start by lifting one arm up, doesn't matter, to the right or the left, and I alternate to the next arm. And then I stretch both arms up to the sky as if I'm praising God and saluting God for the day. And then I take those two arms together, I bend down, I touch my toes, and I laugh when I touch my toes, and I say to myself, Nick, this is the first time you've done this stretch today. And I do that, then I extend one leg, I outstretch my arms, then I lift the arms again to the sky. Again, I'm saluting the sun. And then I hold one arm out to the front. I alternate it, and I put one arm to the back. Then I alternate those arms. The next arm to the front, the next arm to the back. Then I bend down, and when I bend down, I touch the floor. I go down to the floor. I go into a position they call the plank move. It's like a push-up without going up and down. Then I go all the way to the floor. And when I lie on the floor, I lay there for a minute and I thank God that I can do that. Then I raise up in what they call the downward dog position. And where my backside is up to the, you know, sky, the head is down. The hands are holding me between the hands and the feet. And then I come back up from the downward dog position, downward facing dog. And then I come up and then I alternate the legs from where I started. So now I go from the left leg to the right leg. Arms are outstretched. Then one arm to the front, one arm to the back. Then I alternate it, the next arm to the front, the next arm to the back. I lift up my arms to the sky, I thank God again, and then I go down to my feet. And when I go down to my feet, I laugh again and I say, Nick, this is the second time today you have done this move. And it makes me feel good. When I leave the gym, I feel like I've done something worthwhile. Now, let me share with you a couple other thoughts about seeking inner peace. I think the inner peace that we seek ought to be a authentic peace. It ought to be authentic because if it is not authentic, you're fooling yourself. And when you fool yourself, you are really denying the truth. And I just think that we have to be very, very authentic when when we look at ourselves in the context of other people and try to figure out, can I tolerate this life? For example, the African slave trade, you know, the intercontinental cross-Atlantic slave trade was horrible. And, you know, it disrupted families, ripped apart husbands and wives, children, sold on the auction block. And when, that happened, I mean, there are effects that are caused even to this day from that. The Jewish Holocaust was horrible. And if you don't acknowledge the horror of things that happened, there may be things for somebody looking at this or listening to this right now. There may be things in your life that have really been horrible. And I don't encourage you to sugarcoat the horror. I encourage you to look at the reality of your life. And if your life is messed up, acknowledge it. But by the same token, I go back to the words of the Apostle Paul and listen to what he says again in Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then we flip forward, fast forward to verse 8. And this is really, I think, the key to finding inner peace. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think about these things. So my friends, I want to leave you with a prayer and a blessing. God Almighty, I pray in the name of Jesus that all persons within the sound of my voice will find some degree of inner peace today. I pray, O Lord God, that you might help us to put our lives in a true context. Help us not to sugarcoat the horrors of life and the disappointments of life, but at the same point, help us to count our blessings every day. Help us, O Lord God, to thank God for the eyes that can see, the nose that can breathe, the ears that can hear, the mouth that can feed us, the mouth that enables us to speak. O Lord God, help us to thank you for the heart that's beating, even when we aren't thinking about it. O Lord God, help us to count our friends. Help us to count the joys of life. And then, O Lord God, help us to strive toward goodness in your kingdom. Help us to do the most, to live to the utmost, and to be the best that we can be in life. These and other blessings I pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace, both now and evermore. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God bless you. God bless and keep you in all ways. This is Nick Hood. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I encourage you to share it with a friend. God bless, God keep you. And remember, I am praying for you.